Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of There'll Be Movie Reviews. I'm your host, Ryan, and my very special guest, Mr. Nathan Sweezy.
Hello, Nathan. Everybody.
So, what movie are we going to be talking about today, Nathan?
We're going to be talking about Moneyball.
Great. Moneyball.
Starring Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill.
I'd just like to start off that this movie is probably the best sports movie of all time.
Oh my goodness. It is my absolute favorite movie. I just give it a 10 out of 10. I can't, it's so good. Oh my goodness. Anyways, go on. It is so good.
Yeah, I know. I think it's probably the best sports movie of all time, or at least baseball movie. There's really no other sports movie that can compete with it. Being with the fact that most sports movies, you know, they're like that kind of cheesy one-liners, and that are, you know, with the goofy players, like, you know, look at Major League or Bad News Bears or The Sandlot. Right. They're very similar in that way, whereas Moneyball is completely different. You know, you don't need to watch sports in order to love this film and enjoy this film. You don't need to watch baseball. So Moneyball came out in 2011, grossed around $110 million at the box office. Stars Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Chris Pratt, and Robin Wright. This film was nominated for 6 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Lead Actor for Brad Pitt, Best Supporting Actor for the great Jonah Hill, Best Screenplay written by Steve Zaillian and Aaron Sorkin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Zaillian. And also, it was also best editing and best sound mixing. So this film is very, very well received by critics and fans alike. Just a great movie, you know? Based off the book Moneyball, The Art of Winning an Unfair Game by Michael Lewis. In this film, Billy Beane uses statistics and computers known as sabermetrics to create and assemble a team of mediocre players that are underlooked by most scouts. And it helps them to win 20 consecutive games in the 2001 baseball MLB series. So if we're going to start off with this film, I think the first thing we need to start off with is talking about the great Billy Beane. So Billy Beane in this film, he is the GM, our general manager for the Oakland A's. So Oakland has, in the beginning of the film, Oakland has just lost the World Series, and Billy Beane is just, you know, almost heartbroken. His character is really, really interesting. You know, compared to, he obviously he's a real life character in this film, and he starts off, you know, he in the 1979 draft, he was drafted at a very, very young age, and to the New York Mets. And, you know, I think that really damaged him, and that's what made him become the general manager. And he's such an emotional general manager, in the sense that he uses emotional decisions to that ultimately, I mean, in this sense, it creates a great team, but it also could have, you know, affected this team very, very badly. And from the get-go, his character, he's very, very abrupt and relentless, and he's not one to mess with people. He doesn't get along with a lot of the people he works for, and he fakes a lot of the things he says, like especially to other when he's asking for the Cleveland Indians for some money or to trade with players. He's talking about, you know, he says, oh yeah, it was a great season, which obviously he's not telling the truth. And I think Brad Pitt does such a great job at showing that fake happiness that Billy Beane presents. And he's his character is very, very he shows off a lot of
emotion in his character, including like his daughter and everything in that. It adding the daughter into the film just made it so much of a different character for him, because it shows him and his wife, Sharon, I think her name was, because they were split. So then Billy obviously doesn't see his daughter all the time, and then we get to see how that Because he's a very emotional character. Well, Billy, in himself.
The sense of that, he actually, he's like very obviously different around his daughter, Casey, I think her name is, Cassie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He, you know, whereas when he's in, when he's on the field, or when he's at the Oakland A's, like in the office, he's very, very different compared to when he's with his daughter, and he's more sensitive around her. And I think that really maybe shows his true self, or maybe the opposite. It's not his true self when he's around her. One of the things I noticed when Brad Pitt is like at the, or Billy Bean, when he's talking at the beginning of the film to the scouts, because right now he's at the point where he's just lost, where they just lost in the playoffs to the New York Yankees. They were up, like it shows at the very beginning they were up, and then all of a sudden they lost. And that's like that thing that just kills Billy Bean's character, is seeing that loss that just they came so close to having. And then but the character that I hate is when they're in the scout room with Billy and with at the Cleveland Indian, when they're right in Cleveland, and that guy's just a jerk to him. He's in this, he's lost Giambi, Eigenhausen, and Damon. But so now he has to find a way to rebuild this team that mm-hmm. was just great. And that's when he meets Jonah Hill's character. But I want to still talk about Billy Bean's character, because there's a couple things key to the book that are a lot different than his character. So Brad Pitt does a very good job, I think, of you know, creating that anger. He's a very angry person, I've noticed. And in the book, he just like would lash out. He'd be like throwing stuff. And obviously in the film, he does like do that. But I think the one thing that Brad Pitt doesn't do that Billy Bean does is show that anger in that, like, you know, with how mad he actually is. You know, he gets annoyed, but he would get like to another level. It was like he had must have had like anger issues to the extreme. And Brad Pitt, he does a good job at showing that, but I think the problem is that he's not able to, or the problem is that there were just so many other scenes. Like his anger gets in the way of a lot more of the stuff in the film than I actually that it should have gone in the film. You know, a lot more happened to him in the film where he should have been a lot more angry, but he ends up just not in the movie. But in reality, he was just a mess, and he was pretty crazy. But, you know, another great scene that I love is Billy has a lot of these, he has a lot of these, like, obviously he's in charge, so he's a higher person in the, he's the general manager, obviously. Right. So, but when they're in the scouting, and I just love that scene where Billy's just, he's finally just fed up with it. And he's fed up with all these characters, or he's fed up with the scouts just talking about the stupid thing about if the girlfriend is attractive, like, you know, he has an ugly girlfriend. So right. That means he has bad eyesight or whatever. He can't play properly. And that's what the mm-hmm. scouts are looking at instead of, you know, what they should be really looking at. Even though they've just like lost a season, then the scouts are just talking and talking, as he says mm-hmm. in the movie. But I don't know if you want to say something. I've been rambling on a little bit, but
yeah, I'm trying to think of a good Billy Bean scene that like I did. I really like even that scene when you were talking with the scouts. Yeah. I really liked how because the scouts, as you said, they were just rambling on about how other things affect, like the one guy, they said he was getting into weed, going to strip clubs and everything. They were focusing on all the stuff that shaped him as a person other than his game, baseball, right?
Yeah.
They were just going on about, oh, well, it's just not a good look for the team, blah, 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 which is understandable. But as you see when Peter Brand and Billy get together, they start looking more at the stats in the movie, which gives it a whole other aspect from the start of the movie, as in they were just looking at the players as just the person, not for their baseball stats. And Billy and Peter Brand do a really good job on just focusing on the stats and how that's how they built up their team and ended up getting that 20 game win streak. It's just like, as soon as I feel like when they introduce Peter Brand, it's just there's a whole crazy new plot twist whole, in the whole movie.
It's a whole new way of looking at baseball, and
right,
it's obvious it really did happen. It's a true story. So, Bennett Miller does a good job at capturing how Peter Brandt created this idea, or not created. He brought this idea to the mind of Billy Beane, and Billy Beane just expanded it. He expanded it completely, and now baseball is completely changed because of it. Yeah, again, I want to focus on the emotional part, because there's a scene where he keeps cutting these players near the middle when he's talking to Art Howe, the coach of the team, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's just cutting. He cuts Pena, who keeps getting put at first instead of Scott Hatterberg, played by Chris Pratt, and he's just killing this team, and he's making these emotional decisions that he shouldn't put into perspective, and he shouldn't be doing. But obviously, I think Billy Beane's character, he's just gotten to the point where he just doesn't care, and I think it's because he thinks back to the fact when he was a player and how he was, he was a nobody after that. He was a player for a few years. I think it was it might've been 5 or 6 years. He got put down to the lower leagues, the farm teams, and he made this awful decision in his life. So now he's just almost at this midlife crisis area where he's just making these decisions that will ultimately create this great team, but in this underdog team. Another thing Brad Pitt does is just very, very well presented. He's very good at speaking to people. He's very good at being the biggest guy in the room. Everyone's afraid of him and intimidated by him because of that. And, it's just that it's not even a thing that an actor can do, I don't think. I think it's just an emotion. It's an emotion, and it is emotion itself that Brad Pitt enables and he creates. And whenever his character enters a room, you look at Billy Beane, and this guy, you're afraid of this guy.
Yeah, with the more decision making, we see at the start of the movie how those two scouts that were coming. They came to Billy's house, talked to him and his parents. They're going on about how he's the five-star player. He's got the whole package.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can see as the mom is quite worried, and she brings up how he had a scholarship to Stanford, I think.
Stanford.
And he had to make the decision and then the dad said to Billy, he said, "Billy, this is not me and your mother's decision. It's your decision. This is all up to you." So it's made his decision to either go further a scholarship at Stanford or play Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And they had handed him the check. And obviously then we kind of see that he went and chose baseball. And we can see also by the end, near the end of the movie, when he goes to talk to the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, the owner of the Boston
Red Sox. The owner of the Boston Red Sox, because he gave him an offer for, I think it was about $14 million.
Yeah, to no, be a 12, GM, 12 million, I think.
12 million?
Yeah, something like that.
To be a GM in Boston. And it cut to a scene, and he was talking to Boston Red Sox owner about how his season went and how it could have, how he would like to be in Boston, because he'd have so much more money to work with compared to being an Oakland A's GM.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much options that they can create now with that same strategy of using statistics. Mm-hmm. But no, continue what you're saying.
And you went to, and that's after Peter Brand and Billy had a conversation about Billy going to talk to the Boston Red Sox owner. Yeah. And they asked about the money. And then Peter Brand saw the money, and he said that would make you the highest paid GM in all of Major League Baseball. Because it was a crazy amount of money, right?
It is.
And Billy was – he didn't know what to do. Obviously, he wanted to stay in Oakland, and he really wanted to win in Oakland. He said that he really wanted to win with that team.
Right? I think the reason for that is because he made that decision as a child, where he, more like a teenage or as an 18-year-old, he just decided, instead of having a scholarship and being able to take classes at Stanford and, you know, obviously learn a lot more, he decided to, because of the money. And that relates back to why he stayed at Oakland, is because the Boston Red Sox offered him this large amount of money, but he knew that he didn't want to make that same mistake by looking at this money and it forcing him and it changing you know, his personality and his ideas of baseball. And he wanted to stay in Oakland so he could play there where he loved. And I think, but I don't want to talk about, there's a part of that where I don't really want to talk about just yet. I want to talk more. I will think we should talk about Jonah Hill's character, but awesome. So, I mean, Jonah Hill is, you know, probably one of my, the most respected actors. I mean, I respect him as a, one of the greatest actors, you know, of our time right now.
And it was, this movie was Jonah Hill's, one of his more serious movies, because the movie was only in 2011, right? So it was one of Jonah Hill's really, really big movies for him to take part in.
It is
even like with all the other movies he's been in, he's kind of just the funny fat guy, right?
Yeah,
well, and this really shows about how serious and good of an actor he really is when he doesn't have to just be the funny fat guy.
Well, yeah, obviously in like Superbad, he's in like Superbad and Knocked Up, and he's in this Forgetting Sarah Marshall and a bunch of other comedy films that he, you know, he's playing. Not, I wouldn't say the same character, but they're very different characters, but all in all together they're very similar in the sense, because you know, he's the, you know, the kind of the, you laugh at him, you're laughing at him instead of with that character, which I think actually took a toll on Jonah Hill is in real life, because he's looked at this, he's forced to be this character and this actor that, you know, he really isn't. He isn't this, like, you know, this idiot or this, like, just this, like, he doesn't want to be looked at that, just that fat guy that gets made fun of and smells and, like, does or whatever. Right. Like, yeah. And that's how people perceive him and want him to be. But, you know, he took on this role that is, he's so different and versatile and diverse in this film, being playing Peter Brandt, Yale graduate, studying economics and now baseball. And I love that line. What does he say? Brad Pitt goes, he says, like, Yale, economics, baseball. You're funny, Pete. You're funny. It's
that's
like,
when he's going into the elevator there, right?
Yeah.
From the parking garage. Yeah.
And that's a good discussion, because that's the chemistry that these, that kind of creates the chemistry between these two characters, because Jonah Hill, you know, he creates, he shows that idea, and then Billy Bean just, you know, he widens it into this entire differently, and he creates this whole different view of sports and baseball. And that's what really drives their relationship and their chemistry together. And Jonah Hill's character, he's very, I think his character's, he's kind of like nerdy and shy, and, but he's super smart too. And and he's good at showing that too. He has these really good, moments of these monologues that, you know, show his brilliance. And one of the best parts is when he's introducing that idea to Billy Bean. You know, you shouldn't look at baseball, you know, for big hits and how big a player is. You want to look, baseball should be about getting runs and earning runs.
Right.
And because in order, he says, you need to get on base. And getting on base creates runs, and runs creates wins. And that's the whole idea, that you need to change and look at these statistics. And later that night, I think Billy's thinking about it. And he's like, this whole idea and this whole different concept of baseball. And he calls him, and he's like, Would you have drafted me? Or
in the first, would you have drafted me in the first round?
Yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, you're a great player. Definitely. And he goes ninth round. He's like, yeah. Mm. Pack your bags, Pete. Welcome to Oakland. And something like that. And
yeah, he's like, I bought you from the Indians. Welcome to Oakland or something. It was, yeah. It was a great scene. And he just hung up the phone before Pete could say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was quite funny.
Well, that's what, yeah, that's what he, that's his character, I think. That's just what he, Billy Bean does. He doesn't give a shit at this point, right? Because his character, he just lost. And I think that loss
stuck with him. It
obviously did. I think he's been just experiencing that his whole life, this
right
failure. But
especially when he was a player, like it really got to him with the losses of player and how he wasn't playing good when he was younger, and then the loss of the Oakland A's that prior season, it all just got to him.
That is a really important part of the film, that failure aspect. But yeah, we'll talk about that later. But going back to Jonah Hill, yeah, he's introduced and he comes to Oakland, where he's introduced to he's known as the assistant GM, and he wants these Billy Bean wants him to do these three player analysis, and he does he said he did
47 and then he goes, I don't know why I lied right then, I actually did 51 or something.
Yeah, he says that. And so
that was funny.
Again, you know, Yale graduate, obviously, he's really smart. His character is actually based off based off this strategy officer or the assistant GM named Paul DePodesta. And he's obviously, Peter Brandt isn't actually a real character. He's based off like a bunch of assistant GMs of that time for Billy Bean, but in reality, he really was the guy that showed Billy Bean these things. A little fun fact, though, is he really showed Billy Bean these ideas. But a fun fact is DePodesta is actually this fit Harvard grad student who played football and baseball, so he's a completely different body shape and character and from Peter Brandt's character, because I think they kind of took that stereotype nerd with all the stats and knows about looks at the stats and everything and studies that instead, where DePodesta is just like, he's almost the same as Billy Bean, you know,
right,
super fit and tall and completely different
athlete and everything. When you look at Jonah Hill and his character, he's more of like the nerdy smart guy that's, and it really goes well.
Yeah, he doesn't even like baseball. Like, he doesn't even, like, he knows really, I mean, obviously he knows about baseball, but he's just this this strategy officer. He's these economists, or he studied economics. And he's a scout for the Indians. But yeah, his character throughout the film, there's a couple of great lines that he has where, I mean, I love like the one of my favorite is the ending where he's talking to Billy Bean is sitting in Oakland, and then he throws the ball at him out of nowhere. He's like, catch. And then Billy Bean's just like, what was that? Yeah, he's like, what does he say? He goes, moron or something.
Knucklehead. What was that? What are you thinking?
Yeah, he's like, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
And that's a little bit of like Jonah Hill esque in there. That's a little bit of Jonah, like real Jonah Hill's character added into that. And he was even nominated for an Oscar for this. This was Jonah Hill's first Oscar nomination for this film, and I thought that's pretty awesome.
This film was a really big deal for Jonah Hill.
It obviously was. It widened his, like, all the roles for him. And that's what I think helped him get in for the role of the Wolf of Wall Street. And, I mean, that's definitely a film I'm going to watch or we're going to talk about in a few episodes later. But Wolf of Wall Street, what a great movie. But that really got him, I think, helped him to get that role in the Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, definitely there's a couple other scenes where their characters converse with each other, and that I really love, and that really shows their real relationship and their mm-hmm. Chemistry together. And there's this one line that I love, which is so funny, is their spring break, and I think a player like missed a ball, and Brad Pitt looks at Jonah Hill and he like taps him on the stomach, or on the chest, and he goes, "This better work." And Jonah Hill looks super scared.
He's scared and nervous.
"I'm just messing with you." That's so yeah. good.
That's funny.
But yeah, there's plenty of other parts. But I think another key importance and really good scene where it showed the great script by Aaron Sorkin and Steve Zaillian. Mainly Aaron Sorkin. You can tell Aaron Sorkin's a very, very well-known screenwriter and a very well-known writer, because he's written films like Social Network, mm-hmm. The American President. He wrote A Few Good Men, Molly's Game, The Trial of Chicago 7. And yeah, so the scene where in the scout room and they're talking, and they're able to show that annoyance of just like they're interrupting each other and they're just talking about nonsense. Right. And Billy Bean has that, he just like goes la 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 la.
Yeah.
He's like, "Wow, Billy, is that a suggestion?" He's like, guys are just talking, la 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 la. And their idea of looking, how they look at players and how they scout players and how they draft players is so incorrect. And I think that it's right. a little bit of exaggerated, but they show how they're drafting and they're looking at how they, you know, who they're dating, how the sound of their bat pops off. Obviously, right. that's a little different, but like it shouldn't, you know, stats shouldn't be, or drafting shouldn't be based off that, based off, you know, how well the bat pops off
and how their girlfriend looks.
How their girlfriend looks, which is ridiculous. It's mm-hmm. it's no way to draft. And that's what drives the idea of sabermetrics and that use of science and statistics to draft players instead.
Because with that way of the drafting, it's a lot more science and the math and everything. Like you said, obviously Jonah Hill's character knows about baseball, but he didn't play it. He knows about baseball in all ways, but he's not crazy baseball fan, right? Mm-hmm. He's using his smarts from his Yale economics course, and he's just like from his smarts in general, and he's just putting that into all the stats and how his knowledge, working with all the numbers and looking on the OBPs, and he was just even saying, he's like, doesn't even matter if they can hit the ball. There's guys that they got on the team that don't even hit the ball, but they get walked like crazy. And they said, "Hey, doesn't matter if they get on base, that's what we want. On base, like getting people on base gets us runs." Right.
Does. Yeah. It was the whole idea was based off this guy named Bill James. And he's an American baseball writer. And he came up with the idea in the 1970s. And then that's where Paul De Podesta or Peter Brand's character thought of this. If we want to move on, there's another line that I really love, and it's another theme of the movie, and it's the line "adapt or die" that Billy Bean says to one of the scouts. He was a head scout, and he's just like he has a big conflict with them, and
they got into a whole argument prior to that.
You're saying
you're really gonna trust this Peter Brandt guy. I've got 29 years in scouting, and you're gonna go with him.
Yeah,
like, I know what I'm doing. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And they just got into it, and he said, "I'm not firing you," Billy said to the scout. And then the scout went on, and then he said, yeah, okay, I'm going to fire you now. You're out. You're done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple scenes there are a few scenes I do not like. And I think some of the scenes with the daughter, I think they're a little deemed useless. That's just my opinion on it. You know, it's kind of that mushy, chummy, sensitive stuff with his daughter where it shows his character. It does show his character, but I think they could have been taken out of the film no matter what.
I kind of agree with that. I don't know what I mean. I didn't really like the scene where Billy was going to go pick up his daughter, and then he went to the house that she was staying at with the stepdad and the mom, I guess.
Yeah.
And I just, that whole scene in general, whether they're just talking, and it shows how awkward this scene is. Very well written. I just didn't like the scene as it is.
Yeah.
Just because of it, the guy who played the stepdad, he was just, he was supposed to be awkward, and he didn't even seem like a great actor himself.
A good idea, interesting part of that is though, because he's talking about, he obviously doesn't really know that. He doesn't have that much knowledge of baseball. And so Billy Bean's constantly being told, oh, great job. Or you guys did so well. It's too bad you guys lost those players and stuff like that. And it's so awkward because he doesn't know. And he's being told that. And Billy Bean's probably just wants to punch him in the face. Obviously. What else is there? And I think we can start talking about, he's drafting all these players, and the coach, they do a good job. The film does a great job at showing that difficulty of how hard it is for Billy Bean to try and show this whole idea and this concept. And people are just they're losing. They're even losing in the film. And people, there's a mixed feeling of whether this idea will work or it won't. They talk about the opening date game, they lose, it's not that, everyone thinks, they're going to have a terrible season. They're in last place.
And the coach is one of the big factors of that, because the coach just disagrees with what Billy's doing.
Art Howe, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character. Actually, fun fact, during that season in real life, his character was actually much more supportive.
Coach's character was much more supportive? Yeah,
much more supportive of Billy's idea. A lot of the times when he was, when they had to cut players, he was fine with them cutting, and he was much more helpful with Billy in complying with them. And the coach Art Howe states how he's been, for the last 30 years of him coaching, he's been trying to get this whole idea out that he's a good, nice person. And then this movie just shuts it down in the span of 2 hours, his whole reputation. Which kind of sucks, because that's a little bit of a controversy with the film, is because his character is just shown as this, his character is just shown as this guy that is the enemy in a way, because he doesn't allow,
he just doesn't agree with what Billy's doing.
And
always talking about his contract. He talked about his contract at the one point. He just wanted, I can't build this, can't have this team keep going on a 1 year contract, Billy.
Yeah. Exactly. And he's tired of Billy's antics, and he even says, Billy, you're just killing this team, man. You're just killing this team, because he's cutting all these players and he's making all these relentless emotional decisions that are obviously ultimately affecting the outcome of their team, which in the long run, they eventually do a great, they get it 20 consecutive wins. But his Art Howe's character is mainly he's the enemy, I guess, of the film. I mean, I've heard that, but when I look at him, I don't look at him as he's more a grounded character. He's not as much as I hate the head scout. The head scout's just a terrible guy. He's not good in the film. But there's another great actor I think we should talk about is Chris Pratt's character, Scott Hatterberg.
Scott Hattersburg. Hatterberg. Yeah.
So when Chris Pratt auditioned for this role of Scott Hatterberg, he was told he was too fat. And this was while he was filming he's doing Parks and Rec, the TV show. And Pratt decided to lose weight before the role was cast. And so he'd check maybe once a week just to see if he got a call. And he'd ask if they cast it yet. And he would just keep working out. Finally, and he got in good enough shape that like he could take a picture of him. He took a picture of himself and he sent it to an agent, and then he won the role. And he finally won the role, which is pretty neat. Scott Hatterberg is a real character, obviously. He's a real baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing first base, and he's got to be so nervous. And his character, he has a very good development. That he's he can't throw a ball. He can't throw a ball, and so. It's terrible, and so now he's just in this rough shape. He's depressed, and finally he gets his call to play for the Oakland Athletics, and that really changes it. And he ends up winning the walk-off home run for their team.
Right.
One of my favorite lines in the movie is when David Justice he asks.
So David Justice went up to talk to Hatterberg?
Hatterberg.
So David Justice went up to talk to Hatterberg. He's like, ask him about the game, you're going to kill it out there, blah, blah, blah. He said, so what's your biggest fear? And then Chris Hatterberg goes, or is
Scott
it
Hatterberg.
Scott. Then Chris Pratt. Scott Hatterberg just goes, oh, just a baseball being hit in my general direction. David Justice laughs, and he's just like, okay, but really? And then he says, no, I wasn't joking. And David Justice is just looking at him like what? You gotta play first base. Oh, it's such a great scene. And then Scott Hatterberg just walks away, just like, oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that shows the whole idea of these characters is just, as Peter Brandt put it, an island of misfit toys, because he's, I thought of this when I was watching it. It's just, he's finding almost these hacks into the system of finding like hidden players and hidden players and putting them on the team and just creating this incredible team while not having to pay this crazy amount of money. It's almost like cheating the game in a way, because they're able to just get these players that walk and walk and walk and walk and get on base and get runs and get wins. And, characters like David Justice, Scott Hatterberg, who was the submarine pitcher? I forget his name. I'm not sure. Chad Bradford. That's his name. Chad Bradford, who has the submarine pitch. They're looking at him in this way where you look at him as, an underdog. You know, people don't want to
just look at him as like they look at him because he throws weird almost.
Because he throws weird. And so people don't, they're afraid to have him as a pitcher. But he's a great pitcher, and he's a hidden pitcher that they should be hiring. And Jeremy Giambi is another. I mean, I hate him. Like that whole scene is so well constructed, where he's dancing, and I'm just the entire time I'm watching that, I'm just so scared because, oh my god, they're just losing.
Billy
the
walk
game.
In there, and you're Billy like, oh, walks no. in there. What's gonna happen here? Like something's bad's gonna happen.
Oh, you know, it's something bad's gonna happen. And because he's obviously they just lost the game, and he goes, what did he say? He was like, do you like losing? do you like losing? And he's like, no. He's like, then why don't you, or I don't even know. What did he say? He was like,
said something, then why are you acting like something about how they're making, because they're making a ruckus. Almost, it sounded like from the locker room, it sounded like they would have won a game.
Yeah, exactly.
He was mentioning it on how, he mentioned on when he said, after he said what we're trying to figure out, what he said, he put his finger up and he's like, he that's says, what like, losing act, sounds like.
Yeah, that's what losing sounds
like. Because no one was talking, and like, you got, yeah. Like after a loss, usually you're upset. You're just,
and Billy Bean is right. So upset at this point, you know, his team isn't working out and this whole idea of them winning isn't working. Finally they start winning games and they get mm-hmm. 7 in a row, and that's when their whole concept starts working. And again, they've found a way to, you know, find a hack with these players, and the statistics are actually working. Yeah, you see the characters finally understanding how to win, and they have that montage, right. Where you know, Billy Bean and Peter Brandt are talking to all the players specifically about what they need to do, and they're finally right. telling the players how to properly, you know, how to walk, how they right. want to walk. You know, now, they don't need to be he's and Billy Bean starts to be he's almost coaching them instead. Right. He becomes the coach to them instead, and it's the you know.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say like. It's a whole new aspect of the movie, as in Billy Bean is the general manager of the Oakland A's, and he's going in the locker room almost teaching these guys what they have to do and what they need to do. And he's building near before this, he's telling Peter Brand's character, he's telling them that he doesn't he doesn't watch the games. That's one part. Like, there's two really big parts about the whole movie is he doesn't like to watch the games, and he doesn't like to build relationships with the players. And you can see as further on in the movie, he's building these relationships, and he's just
the film.
Really like how it's written, as he comes in as just almost like he's changing his character in a way, and he's opening up, and he's coaching these players almost. It's
exactly. He's different. Opening up to these players mm-hmm. and talking to them more. Whereas like, he doesn't want to become close to these players because it's easier to fire them. That's it. Or cut right. them. That's another thing. And that's what I love about those scenes, is like, they have those witty scenes with Billy where he's like talking about where he's talking about, and you know, he has these rituals that he kind of follows, you know, he doesn't talk to the players. Certain things like that, which are part of the film and actually part of Billy Bean's character. So, for example, he doesn't watch the games because he's afraid he's gonna jinx it. And he only stays in and he works out. And throughout the movie, you see him like he eats like Twinkies and he's always eating food. And the thing about that, though, I mean, that's another thing with Brad Pitt's character. Brad Pitt, like, I don't know if you watch. If you've seen like a ton of Brad Pitt movies, mm-hmm. like I have, he's in every movie. He's eating like so much food. In Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, he's always eating food. In 7, he's eating food. Fight Club, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, he's always eating. He's always eating something. But in like, especially Moneyball, Billy Bean's character, what do you do? Is he like, put on a ton of calories, just eat a ton of junk food and food. And then during the games, he'd go and work out and burn off every single one of those calories. Mm. And that's actually what he would do. And that's kind of funny, though.
I like those scenes when they showed how he was working out and he would turn on and off the TV and listen. It gives a more kind of intense look. Like when there's it goes from workout, like they're panning on his workout and he's just working out, and he'll like finish his set or finish his rep and he'll turn on the TV and listen for a few seconds and turn it off. And it's just it's really intense. I really like the scene because I feel like it was really well shot, well put and everything. I really liked it. I really liked them also for we kept going. I liked how when they were showing the Oakland A's progression as they were winning, I liked how they were going back from throwing like live action footage and then going to see it like on the little TV.
Yeah,
where it was more. I just found that like so interesting, and in how it wasn't just like they're looking at the game. This great thing happens. They're showing them from different perspectives every time.
And yeah,
they're showing it from different milestones when they won the seventh one, right? I think seven games was one of the milestones when they started building up the team, right?
Yeah, seven wins in a row, and
then they got to 16, and then obviously
17, and then
17th, and then obviously 19th,
and then 20th, and there's little achievements that they create, beating the Philadelphia A's, the original Oakland A's. How they beat their record of, I think it was, it might have been 17 wins or 18. Yeah. I'm not sure, but and then those are their little achievements that they have, and that's how they ultimately they just have this powerhouse. So now that like Billy Beane, you see his character, he's just this powerhouse of a man, mm-hmm. being able to force his team to win, and he's such an incredible help to that winning aspect. That whole great dialogue scene where they're it's the trade deadline and Billy's like calling and asking for trades, mm-hmm. for players and trading. Yeah, he's trading all these players, and they get it, and it's so well executed. And that's a thing about the film that is so good, is it's able to the pacing, or the pacing, and just this like driven notion of how Billy Beane is able to get to success and eventually, right. I mean, failure in the end, but we'll mm-hmm. talk about that in a minute. And but before, I'd just like to talk about that scene where Scotty H gets the walk-off home run. That's probably the best part of the movie.
Great scene.
I think it's the best part of the movie. By far, sure. I tear up just a little bit.
It's a very emotional part of the movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's not what anyone expected. Like, he's going, they just wanted to get on base, and then he comes out with this massive just home run out of the park, just crazy. And
he's
walking the base. You can see the whole team come out. They're all so, so happy. And it's just like, it's a big, very, very big part in the movie. And you can even see when, because they pan off when he hits the ball and that bat makes that crack sound, you can see Billy look up at the screen.
Yeah, just no he isn't looking up at the screen, he hears it, because
he hears it, right?
He hears it. Yeah.
It was such a that scene is so good, that one. And I think when Billy and Peter Brand are going on the trade deadline, those two scenes are just my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
Well, it's just so talking good. Back and forth. That's the whole Aaron Sorkin dialogue. That's his part. He's mm-hmm. like great. That great writing right there. That's probably like his best part of the writing of the film, maybe. Another thing, yeah, but that scene is, it's so good, because it's been working, it's been building up to the scene. I mean, most movies have that, build up to that final big scene in the baseball where they hit the home run, where the character, wins the game and like that. Whereas this film, they have the win and then they have the loss after. But I just like, about that one scene, it is so, it's so well executed, because it's so intense. You see how nervous Chris Pratt is. Chris Pratt does a good job at being able to show how he's so nervous. He has no idea.
Especially when Art Howe's the coach, right?
Yeah.
Like points at him, he's like, Hatterberg, go, like, get ready. You're gonna hit.
Let's go. Yeah.
He's like, wait, what? Really? He's like, take out his jacket. He's just sweating. He's so nervous. And Chris Pratt does a great job on showing how nervous their character is. He plays a great character.
They lose in 11,
11 to, it was 11 to nothing.
And they lost that like whole streak of, and they were like, they were about to lose, and it was again as soon as Billy Beane came in, and
shows up at the oh my goodness, I can't even, I was very called at the dugout, right?
Kind of the dugout. It's near the dugout. It's the entrance of the stadium, and he enters the stadium, and that whole idea was and finally, you know, they start losing. He's getting nervous, and then he leaves again, and because he's like, oh no, no, I can't watch this.
Right.
But yeah, that whole scene is so well executed. I it brings a tear to my eye watching it, because it's, you know, they're so happy and they're the underdog, and Chris Pratt is so good. He's sensitive, and he's like kind of like that that they say in the film, you know, he's sensitive, and he you know, he finally gets that win, and he's kind of the underdog too, because he's not really the one to make the big leap in be the big star. And finally they win, and it's just amazing. And you hear that pop off the bat, and it's incredible.
It's almost, it's like as soon as you hear that, but even when, like, as soon as you heard that pop off the bat, you almost knew that one was going out of the park. And it was a big, like, as soon as I heard it, it's just like you said, it's an emotional scene itself, right?
Yeah,
like just with the it's just so happy and everything. When you hear that pop from the contact of the ball and the bat, you're just like, no way. Just as you see, like, Billy was just like looked up with relief and like, did that really just happen? It's just a crazy scene. I like it so much. I love that scene.
It is a great scene, and sadly they end up losing that streak when against the Minnesota Twins, I think it was. Twins. Yeah. Yep. And they, you know, and the guy on the radio, I think he's talking about how baseball isn't about numbers. It's a game based back all the way to the early 1900s about, and how it shouldn't be won by numbers, and that's not how the game is won. And that shows Billy, you know, how he doesn't know. I think that's the whole idea of this film, is he doesn't know how to lose properly, and he also doesn't know how to know success. You know, that whole idea of it doesn't matter until you win the last game of the season. You know, nothing matters until he's, you know, Billy Beane's been trying to win that last game of the season. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea, you know, he doesn't know how to win properly, and he doesn't know how to show his success. Mm-hmm. Billy Beane Peter Brandt shows him that scene, or shows him that video clip of the overweight, you know, 240-pound guy, and he hits the home run, and he does something that he never done before, and he's afraid of that failure, and he's afraid of it, and he had no idea he hit the home run, and it just shows he's not able to realize his own success. You know, Billy has just won 20 games in a row, but he still isn't able to understand it and believe it and finally accept it, and it's a nightmare to him. It doesn't matter to Billy until he's finally won.
Until he's winning that final game, right?
Yeah, it's such a great line. And and I think,
you can add on more to that, as like I said when I was talking about before, when Billy got back from talking to the Boston Red Sox owner, he was talking to Peter Brandt. And even you could say, like, Billy was obviously upset, and Peter Brandt said to him, he's like, you gotta try and get over it. It's already been a couple days. And he says, I can't remember the exact line, but he's saying to Peter Brandt, he's like, like you said, like, he just needs that final win. Doesn't matter. Like, he wants, like you were saying, that he can't accept the success that he just got with the 20 wins all in a row. But he's just looking for that final win.
Yeah, exactly.
And Peter Brandt's trying to get him to realize that he's been doing so good, and he's just got to realize what, like, he's done good, not just what he's missing.
Yeah, exactly. And he mentions like how it's a metaphor. It's an entire mm-hmm. metaphor, and he understands. Billy Beane understands, but at the same time, he really doesn't. Like he still will never. He'll never want to. Jonah Hill. He's trying to show that Peter is the batter in the situation, and he was stepping outside of his comfort zone, mm-hmm. and all that that is normal. He retreats in fear to what is comfortable, and the system works, and he will look for the fool if he doesn't go to Boston. He will look like a fool if he doesn't go to Boston. But he again, with that entire idea of failure, he's afraid that if he fails, in Boston, that he'll do the same mistake that he made, with choosing to go for with the New York Mets when he was 18 years old, when he's right. just out of high school. But yeah, I think the movie, I think it's such a great movie that captures that whole idea that it's related into life itself with the, mm-hmm. There's things you can find with like the idea of looking, with failure. It's right. a thing we face every day. And I think the movie does such a great job at that, with the great writing and directing. And I think that's why I'd give this film a 9 out of 10.
I love it so much. Oh my God. It's gotta be one of my favorite movies next to Seven.
Seven. Yeah. Another Brad Pitt movie. Yeah. Brad Pitt's a great actor, man.
Brad Pitt's a good guy.
He is, yeah.
Great actor.
So I'll do a little before we end. I think I'm gonna do just a few fun facts that I have. So, mm-hmm. Before the ending, the one ending scene though is where he's in the car and he's driving. He's listening to his daughter. Another thing that it relates to failure is she says in the song, like she adds, I guess, like to little love thing to to her dad. She's like, oh, you're such a loser dad. She adds mm-hmm. that into the song. But there's like a debate, kind of a controversy, that people believe that that's actually in his head, and he's just hearing, you're such a loser dad, right. And because he's so caught up with this failure. Maybe, who knows, maybe that actually is like he's just hearing that himself from in his head, you're such a loser dad, or it's just her actually saying,
right. Yeah, I've never heard that before. Yeah. That's actually quite a good point now that I think of it. Like,
yeah,
it's quite interesting to think about as she's singing, because it's just an add-on to whatever, like, it's the ending of her song or whatever she's singing. And now that I think of it that way, that it could actually just be something that Billy Beane would be thinking.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. That's interesting.
I know. Yeah. Another line though near the end that I loved, I just wanted to mention, is just like, how can you not be romantic about baseball? And it's so true. As a person that plays baseball, and it's a great game. There's so many great things that happen, and it's such a fun sport. And that whole line, I think people do get, like, people who especially love baseball, and I'm sure any guy who's played baseball, or any person that's played baseball, loves that line, and loves Moneyball, because obviously it's related with the Oakland Athletics, but it can also relate mm-hmm. to just any person that has been in that situation of failure,
right? Yeah,
finally to success.
I really liked about the movie is how you don't really need to understand baseball to understand this movie.
Exactly.
Like you were just saying, it really shows really well about how all the failure and everything ties into it, and it goes, and it makes you think about like what you've gone through and how have you failed, but you need to think about what you've succeeded in when Peter Brand was telling Billy Jean, you just need to think about what you've done that's good almost. Yeah. Like, you can't do everything. You need to think about what the good things. Don't think about everything down the road that, like, don't think about what you don't have. Think about what you do have.
Exactly.
What you did accomplish, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, a couple of fun facts, though. When Aaron Sorkin agreed to rewrite the screenplay, he stated as a condition that Steven Zaillian's name would not be removed from the credits because his draft was great and Sorkin didn't really feel he could improve it much. During a meeting with scouts, discussing players, one scout dismisses a player for having an ugly girlfriend. We talked about this, but that the player has no confidence. The story that an athletic scout didn't want a player because he didn't have an attractive girlfriend is apparently true. but in real life, he cited this as meaning bad eyesight. So it's ridiculous. It's like, no, obviously not. Despite suggestions in the movie that Scott Hatterberg was a bad fielding first baseman, he ended the year with a fielding percentage 0.994 higher than the league average for his position, which is pretty neat, I thought. Close to the I love this whole idea of the film, but I thought of this too, and I was thinking of this when I was watching the movie, and I thought this was so neat. Was like, so close to the end of the film, right after the scene where the Oakland A's lose to the Minnesota Twins, when Billy is seen in the house, like getting a phone call from the Boston Red Sox, it's the Boston Red Sox, but like before the phone rings, Bean is shown drinking some kind of liquid from a glass. I think it was just like water or I think it was alcohol or something like that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't finish it, stopping with the sip remaining. The whole action was filmed intentionally, and it's intended to symbolize how Bean is just a sip away from achieving his goal, like being a sip away from winning the championship with the A's. And it's such a great metaphor with the film. And it's really, really neat, I thought.
That's funny too, actually. I was reviewing the movie when I was watching, I actually thought, I wonder what he actually was drinking. I didn't realize that the whole last sip thing. That's good. That's a good metaphor, actually.
I think that's pretty much it. I think, yeah, great movie overall, you know, and like I watched this a while ago with my dad, and I just fell in love with it. It's there's so many great parts of it, and I think the whole idea and the struggle to get to that success and then ultimately to fail again, but you know, not realizing that success is so it's so well constructed throughout the film, and how they're able to, you know, have this underlining tale in the film too. And then ultimately having that great acting, great writing, great directing is just, it helps the film so much more and becomes such a great film. But
I was just going to say, I'm so glad that you recommended me this movie so long. It was a while ago, because I know you're a very, very big movie guy and you know all the movies. I like a lot of movies, but Ryan here's got all the inside knowledge that I don't know. So I'm going to ask him ask him some movies I should watch. And then he brought up this movie, Moneyball. Oh, God. It had to be quite a while ago. And I watched it and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is just amazing.
It is amazing.
I watched it just before 7 and it's on my top 3, 100%. Without a doubt.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Make sure to, if you're on Apple, make sure to leave a 5-star review. And maybe if you want, you can comment and you can follow my account on Spotify. Also, we'll be coming up with the YouTube channel and Instagram and TikTok very, very soon. So hopefully you guys will be able to follow that. I'll leave a link in the description after. But yeah, thanks for listening and tuning in to episode 3.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nathan. This is great. I'll definitely have to have you on for another episode. We can talk about whatever. Yeah, anything. Mm-hmm. We can talk about Zodiac, maybe. I know that's a film you love too. It's a great movie.
That's a movie I love too.
Tons of more Brad Pitt movies too that we can talk about. Brad Pitt's just the greatest. But I think that pretty much sums it up. So I think that's it. So have a good day, everyone. See you next week on There'll Be Movie Reviews.
Take care, everyone.